Welcome to Real Estate Radio, hosted by the real estate therapist, Larry Shackman, a top producing real estate broker, author, CEO, and founder of TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, connecting you with top performing agents for 2% commission. Each week, we bring you exclusive interviews with industry experts, covering everything from staging to negotiation strategies to home inspection issues and everything in between. Whether you're selling your home, a first-time home buyer, or a seasoned investor, we've got you covered. Let's make your real estate dreams a reality in this fast-moving and ever-changing real estate market. This program is funded in whole or in part by Trusted Agent USA, Illinois license number 475-145-795. Now, here's Larry.
All right, everybody, welcome back, and we are happy to have you here again joining us for the Real Estate Radio Show. This is going to be a great broadcast. Of course, this is our influencer panel, and we are going to be joined shortly by a great guest, our friend Joe Peterson, the CEO of iList Tech, which is a real estate services company that offers just some great things to agents and consumers alike, specifically sellers. Joe will get into that a little more, and we're going to wrap this whole conversation around what's going on in real estate, what's happening with all these changes that happened back on August 17th. Has it made a big change? We'll get into all of that. But so we're coming to you today, of course, from the studios of WCPT 820 AM in Chicago. We're happy to have you with us. Remember, full contact sport. So give us a call if you're listening and you have anything you want to jump in on with. Give us a call at 773-763-9278 and join the conversation with Joe and I. We're going to bring Joe on in a second here to talk about some headlines and, again, all the changes that are going on in the real estate community. So, and there's a lot of them. But we'll have a lot to talk about. My name is Larry Shackman. I'm going to be your host for the next hour, your host and real estate therapist, which, of course, we all need a little real estate therapy these days with everything going on. So we'll get to that. I run a great group of realtors here in Chicago Metro, Lux Group, LPT Realty. If you guys are looking for any help buying, selling, or investing, give me a call directly, 630-921-0611. We had a busy week last week at Lux Group LPT. We put a few properties on the market, actually under contract in Buffalo Grove and St. Charles. And we rented out just recently that really nice three-bedroom townhome in Evanston. So if you guys need any help with any of your real estate transactions, or if you have any questions or anything, give us a call, 630-921-0611. You can reach me directly, and you can hop on our broadcast today at 773-763-9278. So, yeah, I was mentioning this week we have Joe Peterson joining us. Joe is the CEO at iList Tech. And as I mentioned, they are a real estate tech company offering some real industry leading solutions for agents and sellers. And we're going to talk about how these recent changes in the real estate business may have affected Joe's business and how he's adjusting to that. And what other agents are telling him as well, because Joe deals with a lot of agents all over the country. So we'll see what they're saying as well. You know, a couple of things, house cleaning here. First, I want to thank Devin, who's been on the board for us every Saturday and continues to do so. And one last time, 773-763-9278. That is our number if you want to call and jump in. And we are also streaming live on YouTube like we do every Saturday. You can check us out on YouTube at Larry Shackman, at LarrySHakman. And remember to follow us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. So remember, coming up on September 14th, we'll have Michael Lafito back with us, joining us for Selling Luxury. You know what? Question of the day. Do you think prices are going to go down in real estate in 2024? I have some thoughts on that. I'm sure Joe does too. You know, right off the top, I don't think so. Do I think they might flatten out? Possibly. Remember, if you want to hop in and talk about it, call us 773-763-9278. We are going to look at a few headlines here, which is brought to you by TrustedAgentUSA.com. Go to TrustedAgentUSA.com, get the real market value of your home, see all your selling options, and pick your closing date. You could even get a cash offer right there. So go to TrustedAgentUSA.com, sell, buy, or invest. Let's bring Joe on and let's talk about some of these headlines and some things going on out there in the real estate world. Joe, what's up?
What's going on, Larry? How are you, man?
How you doing?
Man, I am doing awesome. I am out here sitting at a log cabin next to a lake in East Texas, so it is hard to complain right now.
So are you doing any fishing out there?
We are, yeah. So I've been on a lake loaded with awesome largemouth bass. So we come out here every now and then, and it's a great place to sneak out for the weekend every now and then.
Oh, that's awesome. So where is that in Texas?
So it's at next to a town called Canton. I don't know if you've ever heard of Canton, Texas. They have a big like trades day here, but it's about an hour and a half east of Dallas.
About an hour and a half east of Dallas. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm sure you were up bright and early catching the fish, making breakfast.
Coffee ready to roll.
How you doing otherwise? Business going well?
We're doing great. It's like you said, the market's a little interesting, but it's definitely creating a lot of opportunity. So
yeah, I think so too. You know, there's a lot of stuff always going on in the real estate market right now, exceptionally so with all of the changes that recently happened August 17th, which between me and you, I don't think a lot's going to change. I really don't. I'm already kind of noticing that. You know, I don't know what you're seeing or hearing from others, but, and I know you talk to a lot of agents all over the country. But I don't really see a lot of things changing. Couple of the headlines, Joe, that, you know, I've noticed pop up, Fannie Mae, the economists over at Fannie Mae, they're predicting right now that, you know, affordability is still a real challenge for a lot of people getting into the market. And we're really going to see limited growth in terms of home sales for the remainder of this year. They're expecting only about a 0.5% uptick, which is just about 4.78 million homes total. And then they're expecting in 2025, and remember, this is Fannie Mae economists, and sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. They're expecting 5.19 million homes 2025. I think all of this, and I'm sure you'll agree with me on this, inventory, supply and demand, all of this is connected together, all of it.
100%. And I agree with you. I think we're going to see the market start, you know, for lack of better terms, we'll start seeing them normalize a little bit. We're not going to see this rapid growth, rapid increase, but we are going to see it normalize. But I think it's going to be values increase. We still have a lack of inventory, which is going to create demand, which is always going to have prices higher. And as we see these interest rates keep dropping a little bit and being played with, we're going to see bumps in demand coming up. And of course, it's all regional, right? Fannie's great about throwing stats out nationwide, and it's hard to take those in localized markets. But so every market's going to be different. But I fully agree with you, Larry. I think we are going to see things, and it's weird saying slow because the market is still very, very good, historically better than average. Mm-hmm. It's just not what we were used to. Right. Yeah. We were used to properties going on the market and having multiple offers in 4 days.
Yeah.
And that became a normal. Newsflash.
Yes.
That was not normal. right?
That was not normal.
We accepted it as normal, but that's not normal. Like when you look, and once again, this is kind of a regional number, but average days on market is closer to that 70, 80 days when you look at a nationwide number. And we just got so spoiled. We kind of have this weird misconception of what the real estate market was. And now that it's going back to what it should be, you know, we're all thinking it's doom and gloom. We're just going back to where it should be, but it's still better historically than it ever has been.
Yeah. And I'm going to, I agree with you on all of that. You know, it's funny because we get used to these abnormal times that happen occasionally. And just like we went through this insane foreclosure, you know, spike from 2008 to 2017, whatever it was. And then we had this crazy interest rate reduction where we saw 2% interest rates. And you people get used to these things, and it causes, you know, sometimes like with the REO thing, it caused a lot of fear in people. But other people, it didn't cause fear in, right? Other people saw insane opportunity with that whole REO meltdown. And I think that's kind of what we're experiencing here with interest rates. You know, you have people still sitting on the sidelines trying to play the waiting game with the market. And I think that's a fool's errand. I really do. I think whenever you try and wait the market out, man, I don't know. I think you're risking a lot there.
I agree. If you have that much knowledge and insight to where you as a local consumer can play the market, you need to have a different job or something, because you make a lot of money doing that, right? But you know, when you try to play the market like that, chances are you're gonna lose. I mean, let's face it, worst case scenario, you get locked into a mortgage right now at 6.5 and rates do fall. You know what you can do? Refi. It's, you can always adjust down. Right now you would never want to adjust up, but if you feel it's good right now, make a move. Waiting is never a good solution when you look at the opportunity cost.
And you know, I mean, Joe, I think you hit it right on the head. If you're a consumer out there and you know enough to wait the market out, and you have all this information that's telling you to wait this out and don't jump in until this, call me, because you don't need me as a real estate agent. I need you.
I need you to be my investment guide here.
Exactly. Because waiting out the market, the real estate market, or the, I think the stock market is just foolish. You know, I know people that pulled all their money out of the stock market 3-4 years ago when they thought all hell was going to break loose, right? Well, look how much money they left on the table if they didn't put that money right back into the market. Tons of money. So I think, you know, those two things, you know, just in terms of like a commentary, Joe, on the whole, you know, real estate scene right now. So mortgage rates fell last week again, not by much, but a little bit. And the Federal Reserve continues to signal that they're most likely going to be lowering the Fed rate, which really has nothing to do with mortgage rates, but it could, but it may not. You know, it just depends. And it doesn't always affect mortgage rates one way or the other, because it's really about the rate banks loan money to one another, correct?
Correct.
And
I think that's a big misconception out there. When we as a general public consumers hear that feds are going to lower, we automatically apply that to mortgage rates. That's not the case, right?
No.
To the everyday person, they think like, oh, I'm making a good choice because I'm waiting because I listen to what the feds are going to say. That's two different worlds. Sometimes they're tied together a little bit, but they're not associated directly like that.
Yeah. Just because of the dynamics of the market, occasionally if the Fed drops their rate, you might see it somehow affecting mortgage rates, but really the Fed rate is more going to affect short-term interest rates, like credit card rates or maybe car loan rates. I went to look at new cars and I was like, dude, I'm not buying a new car at 6% interest. That's insane. And they're dead. I mean, they are not moving vehicles right now because of that. It's just the interest rate is just crazy right now for cars. So, you know, with the Fed rate, yeah, it may affect short-term interest rates, may or may not affect mortgage interest rates, but they are talking about cutting that Fed rate, which will make money more accessible, I believe. So they're talking about, you know, I'm thinking probably a half a point in September, and then we'll see what happens in December.
Yep. And with it being an election year, you know, we always want the economy to look rainbows and unicorns, right? And they all want to take credit for it. And so we're going to see a lot of things happening, you know, the last quarter of this year entering into election. And so we might see, I agree with you. I think half point is probably reasonable coming up to towards year end. And then, you know, a lot's going to depend on what happens with the election. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we're always looking for that October surprise in an election year. Yep. And I think we've kind of had a few surprises already with this election, with the way that the Democratic ticket has changed, that has thrown the Republican ticket. And it, you know, they don't know how to react to that. And the general electorate is still reacting to that, but we don't know, are there going to be any surprises, you know, on an international level that affect our politics here at home, which, you know, Europe sneezes or the Mideast sneezes and we catch a cold here in the United States. That's just the way geopolitics works now. And I think that as well can affect the real estate market.
100% it can. 100%. I mean, as soon as, you know, ripples start happening overseas in this example, we're going to start seeing money, you know, depending what kind of ripple it is, we're going to start seeing money freeze up again. And then we're kind of getting back to, we're going backwards at this point in time. So it is, especially that coming up, there's a lot of things happening last quarter of this year. So it'll be really interesting. And there's a lot of influences playing on it. So
I agree with that. And you know, it's funny because even though interest rates dropped a little bit and they continue to inch down, right, and I think they'll continue to do that, I don't think they're going to go much lower than probably I don't know, maybe like 6% by the end of the year. Six and a quarter, something like that. What are we at right now? I don't even know.
I want to say we're 6.3 somewhere, 6.5 somewhere in that range. Yeah. So I agree with you on that. If we, and you know what, there's going to be a healthy balance somewhere in the middle where I feel like if we can just get to that healthy balance and people waiting on the sidelines for this, you know, mysterious 3% rate to come back, like
it's never happening.
It never will come back, you know, knock on wood. I would love to see it come back for a little bit, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah. So quit waiting, start making moves, right? You're missing out on equity day by waiting on the sidelines here.
Well, and you know, it's funny because even though rates have continued to go down, it's really only getting consumers out there interested in refinancing, not so much purchasing. Buyers are still kind of sitting on the sideline waiting for rates to go down. And I'm telling you, they are not going below 6% before the end of the year. And I think even by the end of 2025, I don't see them going lower than, you know, 5.75, maybe 5.5. I don't know. I mean, I'm, you know, taking stabs at this right now because nobody really knows, right? But I don't see them year end coming down, 2025 even being any lower than 5.5%. And I'm pretty sure that's what I think Fannie Mae is estimating, like 5.9%. by the end of 2025. So they're being very conservative about that.
Yeah, I fully agree. And once again, just talking about the consumers, when you look at the opportunity lost in terms of equity gained versus over a couple of a tenths of a point on rates, I mean, get off the sideline, start making moves. You can always, once again, is what if this, guess what? You can refi down, you know, most lenders will cover your refi cost. Even like there's so many different ways to do it, but start getting active again. That's the best thing that we can tell anybody.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and you know, it's like, I always go back to that whole REO thing that we went through back in the day. The people that didn't sit on the sidelines and the people that said, hey, this is an opportunity, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people got hurt.
Yeah.
But the people that were able to kind of take advantage, and I hate to use that term, but just take advantage of that whole shift, really, really made out big time. And that goes back to sitting on the sidelines, or like right now, do you put off your home purchase because you want it to go down by another half a point? Listen, let me tell you something. When these rates go down, let's say me and you are wrong and they go down to 5.25%, all hell breaks loose and all the buyers flood the market again. Guess what that's going to do to prices?
Multiple offers skyrocket, and now you're spending way more than you would
way
have
more
at the beginning.
Way more. Yeah, so your interest rate might be a little lower, but you're going to spend way more on that property just because of the demand is going to go up so much, because that's what everyone's waiting to do right now.
So they're waiting, like they're just at any moment, we know it's going to happen, and like it's not going to happen. You know, it's the REO is going to look, it is coming back. Yes, we're not going to say it's not, but it's different than it used to be. You know,
yeah,
there's less inventory. It's a lot of assets get sold before they become REO now, right? And there's just,
yeah.
Worst case scenario, if it drops down, like you're going to see prices bump 15% probably. That's going to cost you a lot more money than a couple of, you know, tenths of a point here.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think people need to take that into consideration when you're weighing your choices. Do I wait? Do I pull the trigger now? And really, this is a great time to buy right now because it's slow.
Yep.
Sales are down. It's kind of like that whole thing. When's the best time to buy a car, right? The end of the month, because that's when they really want to move cars, right? Yep. They want to make those last few sales the end of the month, so everybody gets their bonuses and all that kind of stuff, right? But in the real estate business, when it's slower, people, you know, when they have a buyer come to the table that's interested, you know, they take that seriously. They want to get their property sold. And sometimes they're willing to do some things they might not otherwise be willing to do in a stronger seller's market, which
days on market makes sellers very, very nervous. And as a buyer, that creates opportunity for you, you know? Yeah.
What's the days on market by you? You're in, where's your market? Your local
market?
We're
in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we've crept up. I mean, we were like once falsely low. Once again, we were like 5, right? And now we've gone up to, I would probably say we're around the upper 30s, low 40s. Of course, depends on the price point of the property. But, and we're still below what a typical average day on market is. And you know, and agents are freaking out around here, but we're still historically way better than we were. It's just that, you know, when change hits the market and we get back into a normal environment, people get scared for a little bit, you know, just like, it's everybody's a little nervous and scared right now, but it's going to go back into a normal way of doing business. Same thing with the market.
Yeah, here in Chicago Metro, and you know, Joe, it's so relative too, just in terms of all real estate's local, So market time is going to be different, not only from state to state, city to city, but from suburb to suburb, and from home to home in different suburbs and different subdivisions. You know, I had a house in Buffalo Grove, Illinois, in the Stevenson School District, which is a very highly sought after school district, right? And it was in that 800,000 range. Needed a little work, but pretty much move in ready, but just some cosmetic stuff people are going to want to do. So that house sold while it was still in its pre-marketing phase. We pre-market all of our homes before we officially put them on the market. We do that whole private listing network. We put it on coming soon. We build up all that anticipation, and then we put it on the market if we haven't sold it in that pre-market private listing network time, which we did with this home. And that, again, just goes to speak to everything is local. If you're in a really hot school district, or you know, some other factor that really drives homes, the sale of homes, your home could potentially sell before it actually hits the market, which is what happened in this case. But then there's others that sit on the market. Like right now, the average market time in Chicago Metro is somewhere, I think, between 50 and 60 days. So it has crept up. It's more normal again. But you still have those properties that come on the market and fly off the market in 5 days.
Yep.
You know, it just depends on, like you said, price point. It depends on where it's located and all that stuff. It's just all local.
Price point's a big, big part where we're starting to see sellers, like in your example, the houses that are moving quickly are sellers that price their house in accordance with the current market, not what the market was 8-9 months ago, right? You know, sellers that do that, they're out there fishing, right, for higher values. Those are the ones that typically sit and they have a specific goal in mind, great for them. And then you have sellers who take advice from agents on where the local market is. And Larry, like what you and your team do, are we on point here? Are we on track? That's where things become really, really interesting, because when sellers listen to agents and teams like yours, they're going to enter the market at a price point that's going to be appealing to buyers right off the bat.
Exactly.
There's just so many dynamics that come into play, especially coming out of a market that we were in.
Yeah, that is the key, Joe, what you said. And that is that price has to appeal to a wide range of buyers. It has to make them kind of perk up and, you know, their eyes widen and go, hey, we got to check this out, because this house is going to go fast. It's priced right. The worst way to market any home, in my opinion, after doing this like 24 years and seeing it all through every market you could possibly, you know, go through, whether it's the REO market, whether it's a super hot seller's market, you know, hot buyer's market, slow seller's market, whatever. Really pricing your house high because you could always come down is just, again, a fool's errand. It's the wrong way to sell and, more importantly, market your home. It's not a great thing to do, because the longer you're on the market, the farther away you're getting from your list price.
Red flags that pop up to consumers looking at it. Even if it is a beautiful property and you see 78 days on market, you're kind of looking at it going, yeah, but I wonder what's wrong with it. You know, it's just, and there may not be anything wrong with it, but that's just human nature. And so you want to make sure you come out with the best exposure you can immediately.
Yeah, get as many people interested in that property as possible. And that's how you get multiple offers.
Yep.
you know, that's how you do it. Hey, last thing with these headlines, and then when we'll take a short break and come back, because I got to talk with you about some of these changes and what's happened since August 17th. And one of the things we'll hit on is Josh Sitzer, one of the plaintiffs in the Sitzer Burnett case. There's something really funny I want to talk to you about.
Yeah. I know what you're going to say already.
And I know, and we'll get into it. But before we do that, you know, one thing that really ticked up was, and we're both sitting here smiling because it's like, we can't even believe this guy. I mean, I literally can't even believe this dude. But anyway, consumer confidence really ticked up. It was the highest it's been, I believe, in 6 months. It ticked up to about 103.1. Sounds like a radio station. It was driven mostly by just the improved economic outlook and perceptions and future outlook that consumers now have. The reason I bring this up is, you know, one of the companies that I know you work a lot with and that I'm involved with as well, Zudilio, right?
Yep, Zudilio, yep.
Zudilio. So I listened to their podcast because I find it really interesting. It's a fun podcast to listen to. And one of the things that they touched on is how the economy is kind of, It was kind of a negative view of the economy right now. And I didn't get that because I'm not seeing that myself. And I'm not seeing a lot of panic out there with consumers. We're not where we want to be for sure, but we're headed in the right direction in almost all dynamics of that economic market out there. And I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I was a little thrown by that because those guys are normally spot on.
Yeah,
with,
no, I agree with you. And we also have to take it from the world they come from. They're one of our many awesome partners we use for offers. But their business, their world, once again, thrives when the economy is a little panicky, right? I mean, that's how their world works. So I take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But yeah. I agree with you. I think we're heading the right direction. I think people are more confident now. I mean, now that we do feel rates ticking down a little bit, right? And we see things starting to normalize. I do feel like, and you said it spot on, we're not where we want to be, but are we going the right direction? I think everybody would agree with that. And I think we're going to remain in that phase until after the election. You know, is in our lives should not be based on politics one bit, but I think that the world's just waiting. I say the world, you know, our nation is just waiting in anticipation to see which direction we're going to go. And I think we're going to remain that way until, you know, we cross that hurdle here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. You know, right after an election, typically there's that honeymoon period, especially a national election where there's that honeymoon period where, you know, whoever wins gets that little respite, that little amount of time to kind of enjoy their right. Yep. But that's also a time right after the election that bad actors around the world, they look at that as a great time to throw chaos into the mix.
Yep.
Right. And see, how is that? How can we mess up what's ever going on in the States or in Europe? How can we mess up their elections? There's a lot, you know, at that time, right after an election, that things could get really, really interesting or be boring as hell, right? Either way.
I could not agree more. Which one is it going to be? Nobody knows.
So, you know, let's just slide right into this and we'll take a break in a minute because honest to God. So Josh Sitzer, who is one of the plaintiffs in the commission case and out of Missouri, launches this flat fee real estate platform called Landian, which I'm going to tell you right now. I drilled the whole thing down, what he's doing. And Josh, I got to tell you, you know, you're late to the game, dude. This stuff's been going on for a long, long time, and it's been failing for a long time. And the reason people don't do these things is because they depend on real estate agents to work with in a very complicated transaction. And they're not going to pay you $49 to go look at a house and $199 to write offers, you know, and I've written 9 or 10 offers before an offer has been accepted. I'm going to let you explain it. Explain exactly this whole thing here.
Oh, and then we'll. Okay. So for those of y'all who are going, what's happening right now, there's a big settlement. National Associated Realtors sued over buyer commission / compensation, whatever term we're supposed to be using these days. And the gist of this was sellers have been paying all of the commission compensation. The lawsuit was based out of the mindset of why are sellers paying people to negotiate against them, right? Now, we all know how commissions are paid. We know how that works from an agent brokered standpoint, but they really played into consumers' fear here, in my opinion. Like that was the go-to because it's very easy for... Why me as a seller, why am I having to pay all these fees, right? And so it makes sense. Like I know why he targeted that audience, easy audience. But now here's the ironic part. They won, which I honestly did not think they were going to win. I was shocked when that hit. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? And so what this did in the real estate community, now we just have more paperwork that we have to do, right? Yeah. I think it's just going to be a little... the waters are going to be a little murky for a little bit until everything settles down, but then we're going to get into a new norm. And I don't think it's going to be a whole lot different from where it was. Now, the landmine that hit, what was it just last week, was this gentleman who was the lead plaintiff here. Guess what he happened to start? We'll call it a flat fee buyer representation service.
Exactly.
Right? So now the exact audience that he was representing, he actually started a company that he's trying to make money off of them now.
Yeah.
Like it's mind blowing. And like you said, Larry, these companies have been around forever. If you Google that, I could find 50 of them in 30
exactly.
seconds.
Exactly. Exactly.
Everybody. Now I think and it's going to be really interesting to see how many lawsuits get thrown on him now, but it's going to be really interesting to see this. The fact that he used a national suit and a platform that he created. Now he's using that to market his services. Like,
no, it's like, are you serious? That
blows my mind away. Like you read that, we as agents look at it and go, are you serious right now? Like you literally just won this landslide lawsuit trying to better support buyers in the real estate market. And now you're launching a service that's probably going to deliver inadequate services. And here's the thing, Larry, you mentioned something interesting, charging whatever fee to write offers and whatever fee to open doors. If you look at how many doors are open, how many offers are money, but you know what? Because he does not have a percentage next to it, you know, he's doing consumers a favor.
Yeah.
It literally is comical, right? It's like me, for a really bad analogy here, it's like me owning a tire company and, you know, throwing 1,000 nails in the road so I can increase my tire sales. Like, that's exactly what happened in this world.
Honest to God, I mean, I read this and I'm like, talk about a guy with some huge ones, man. Oh, I mean, no this kidding. Is like, I'm like, no, this has to be a joke. Someone's punking me and someone sent me this article because this cannot be real.
I read it and I was like, I took it like, okay, somebody's just spoofing out there. Somebody's spoofing. And then you look into it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is real. Like,
and dude, it's a stone cold failure. It has no legs at all. This thing has been done over and over again. And you know, how many flat rate services are out there?
Yep.
It's insane. He's reinventing nothing here.
Yeah.
He's
using the stage he just created to bring it back to life. And it's just, you look at it from a real estate community side, we look at it through certain lenses. I just hope consumers are going to understand, which that's the problem, right? Consumers really don't understand the inner workings of this. And I think he's just feeding on that even more.
Yeah. I'm looking for one of his packages because there's a package he has here, I believe, for like, oh, here it is. So for consumers, they can pay entirely a la carte with Landian, which is this new service our buddy Josh is creating. And so Landian charges $49 for a home tour, right? They charge an offer written by an agent cost $199, but AI-powered offers are only $99.
Oh, gosh.
Now, are you kidding me?
Oh, gosh.
What is an AI-powered offer? I just want to know what in hell that is.
I'll answer this. It's probably going to be a bad one. Like,
what is, that's no, my but answer. I'm, literally, can you tell me what an AI offer is?
I've never even heard of an AI. Like, if I'm buying one of the biggest investments of my life, do I want a computer, like, generating? Like, hey, Alexa,
no,
write me an offer on one of Larry's houses today. Done. Real estate over. Right, Larry? We're all out of jobs.
I mean, and, you know, I bet he's sitting back with that Cheshire Cat smile on his face thinking, man, he's playing this thing from all angles. He did this lawsuit, which, oh, Josh, you're getting about $125 for. The lawyers are the ones keeping all the money on this lawsuit. Yeah. And it's insane how much money they're getting. But the plaintiffs are going to end up getting what? $125, $100, $90.
Yeah.
Like they do in all these.
There that it's just the whole thing. When you look back on it, I just, everybody always asks me my thoughts on it. And here's my answer. It's just silly, complete silliness, because it's going to go back into the same world it always has been. We just have more paperwork. We do different now. And to be it, maybe it is a little cleaner because we are doing it up front. Now, most contracts and most states already had that. And so it's, you know, it's kind of like, okay, now we just have an extra page, but it's one of those things where sellers that want to sell will have certain compensation models built in, and sellers that want to try to press the market and retain equity. Well, guess what? You have options around that now. It's completely your call.
Yeah.
Newsflash. It's always been your call.
It's always been like, your call.
It's, and so now I think this plaintiff guy is just using this. Like I said, he probably had this in mind from day one, or
I'm wondering
about halfway through the suit when he realized, like, oh my gosh, plaintiffs, we might actually have a case here. I wonder if that's when he started putting this together of, now how can I leverage this and go out to the same audience that I've, you know, just trying to create fear.
But you know what, Joe, it's almost like it goes back to that old saying where having just enough information where you can be dangerous to yourself and others. And that's where I think this guy is just way off, because so one of his packages is he has what's called an exclusive agent package. Okay. And that costs $1,799. You pay at closing, and this package gives buyers, this is funny. I mean, it gives buyers up to 5 tours and 2 offers for $17.99. I'm like, dude, your whole model is so bad, and you're going to fail so hard here that if you just would have Googled some things before you put this press release out or whatever it is I'm reading, you would have saved yourself a lot of time and embarrassment. I mean, $17.99 paid at closing. for five tours and two offers. Dude, I've taken buyers out and shown them 11 houses in a day.
Yeah. And so here's what's going to happen. And this is common with most flat fee structured services like this. A consumer is going to end up paying way more for less. I'm not going to say representation because I don't want to make any claims on what they are or not doing.
Yeah.
But I'll just say,
we don't know.
Right. Yeah. We don't know, but I'm just going to say, what if you want to look at 20 houses? What if you want to make 10 offers? Well, now guess what you're paying? What, $4,000 or $5,000
like
at closing? And you still don't know if you're even going to get to the finish line of where you want to be.
Yeah.
That is literally a paid for service, not having somebody's best interest in mind.
No.
And that's the definition there. If you want to pay for service, you can Google 100 of them right now and you have 100 different options. If you want somebody to represent your best interest on the largest financial purchase of your life, you know, that's the difference.
Blows my mind.
Yeah. I thought it was a spoof when it first hit, and you start reading about it, you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's actually doing this. And
I'm looking at this article and I'm like, this guy thinks he's a lot smarter than he is, because it wouldn't have taken much for him to see this is everywhere. I mean, in Illinois, you can list your home on the MLS practically for free.
Yep. Yeah, we've got services all around our markets where you can do the same thing.
And oh, yeah, Texas.
There's even services out there where you can, you know, once again, by the hour, by the day, book an agent. Like they're everywhere out there.
What was he thinking?
You know,
who's giving him advice?
Yeah, like you said, he just won something that nobody thought he was going to win, and or like, you know, that group was going to win. It's not just him, but now they've got this ego of like, okay, I nailed this whole real estate market thing. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to watch. I think he's going to have so many eyeballs on this. It wouldn't surprise me if this just kind of quietly fades away.
It's going to, because just like a million other of these things have quietly faded away.
Yep.
But I just thought that was just, I mean, man, that took a huge set to even do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
kudos to him for having that, right? If you want to throw it out there, my gosh, you throw it from the highest mountain you can, and he did it.
Oh, man. He did it. I'm going to keep an eye on that. So the other thing I want to talk about, last thing is, so the NAR has, they are not walking away from this lawsuit with the DOJ, where the DOJ is reneging essentially on a settlement they made with them, with the NAR. And the NAR is now kicking this up to the Supreme Court if they have to, and saying, how are you reneging on a settlement that you made? You're going against the goodwill of the settlement that you made. So they've kind of kicked that back up to the courts, and they told the DOJ, well, yeah, not so fast. And so I don't think this whole thing is over.
I don't think so either. I think once again, everybody was kind of in shock that it went the way it did. And now that it did go the way they did, I think, unfortunately, they're looking at it from an even bigger picture now. And how's that going to waterfall into everything we do? It's really, 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 really interesting. And unfortunately, the people who depend on this daily, we're kind of stuck in the middle here of, okay, well, do we go this way? Do we do this? We're literally learning on a daily basis. Forms are changing on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
And so for the next, and this is where I use that muddy water term, I think for the next 3, 4, 6 months, it's just going to be really interesting. And as agents and as consumers, we just have to be prepared for that.
Has this affected iList at all?
You know, not necessarily. I'll tell you this. It had a positive effect on us. We are really big believers, and we have been from day one, on giving consumers choices. Right. Mm-hmm. Real estate to me has always
been about, that's why I love you guys.
giving consumers choices. And I'll tell you a couple of areas that we have just seen spike because of this. And we've been doing this long before this suit and settlement, but our instant offer world, right? We have just seen it skyrocket.
Yeah. And I haven't marketed that like I should, because I've just been busy with other things, but yeah, I can see where that would be a big
deal. It just skyrocketed. And I think it's I think it's a mixture of two things that we're seeing in the economy right now. One, we're very house rich and cash poor, meaning most people have great equity, but their credit cards are maxed out.
Yeah.
And so now they're having to make these life decisions on how do I use my asset to get money so I can continue living my lifestyle. And, you know, it's a interesting dynamic, and a solution, a possible answer to that is some of our instant offer equity plays on properties, that combined with consumers hearing all the turmoil in real estate right now, they're going, my gosh, do I even want to mess with that? And so then they go, okay, this is going to be faster and easier.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing that world skyrocket right now. But you know, it's interesting, Larry, that world, everything we do is agent centric, right? We want to make sure agents have the best tools. And inadvertently, we want to make sure you as a seller are using agents that have the best tools, right? It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing is we're seeing agents who focus on sellers, and they do it with this messaging, right? My goal is to give you the best options. Real estate is not what it used to be with a single strategy. If you're looking to sell, we want to start with this, and then we want to explore this, and then we want to explore this. Why? Because best interest for the seller. And Larry, I know you employ a lot of these strategies already. I think they're realizing that, okay, my world has officially changed now, and they're doubling down on those strategies, starting with the instant offers, the pre-market aspect. And so we've really seen it take a really big bump up because of that. And then Larry, even on the backside, relating to these buyer agent commissions that we're talking about, right? Or compensation. I've got to get that word correct in my mind now, right? We're having to learn all these new terms that mean the same thing, but we have to use them differently now. But we've even built in tools for listing agents like yourself, Larry, where we rolled out a feature called adaptive commissions, where if your seller does not want to offer compensation, because sellers still have that choice, but if they don't want to offer compensation to a buying party, well, now you as a listing agent, Larry, can choose adaptive commissions or compensation. What that means is when a consumer is a buyer agent is making an offer on one of your properties, they can literally select the fee that they want to earn, and it's just added on top of the price.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it's completely delineated who's paying for it. It's built on top of the price so the consumers can finance it, right? And it's a win-win. And so we've rolled out tools that ideally are going to support agents in this changing world. You know, if you're not sure how to do this or how to have conversations with sellers, we want to make sure you have the right methods to show them easy solutions in this world.
Yeah. And you know, it's exact what you said, Joe, is so spot on, in that you may start with offering that instant offer, and that seller may take a look at that and go, you know what, this is awesome, but it's probably not my best play.
Yep.
What else do you have? And now you show them your standard typical listing. And because that's in a lot of times, that's going to be the seller's best option to get the most money they can for their home. Hands down. Where do you start may not be where you finish, but the more options you can offer sellers now, the more doors you're going to get in to at least start talking to people. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Cause let's reverse that equation, right? Larry, what if you led with, what if I'm if that's the best way, you're telling me there's other ways. Okay. Well, why are we not talking about those? Because in this world, same thing, why we just went through this whole settlement, you've got to make sure consumers are educated on yes. the choices they have. Yeah. Never assume that their goal is to make the most money. I know, as yeah. weird as that sounds, some yeah. people, time is more important, right? And so it's just really important to factor all that in.
Yeah. Hey, we are running a little late. We're going to wrap it up. Before we go, Joe, how do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about iList?
So you can go to our website. It's iListTech.com. And we are there to support the agent community, give you access to the instant offer strategies, all built for you in your world, so you can turn around and offer this out to your consumers in your market.
Yeah. You guys get in touch with Joe. These are amazing tools for agents and consumers. Thanks for joining us, Joe. Thank you for joining us. Go catch some largemouth bass.
There you
go. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Larry, have a great one. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bud. See ya.
Thanks.
All right, everybody. That's a wrap on the show. Thanks for joining us on the Real Estate Radio Show. We'll see you again next Saturday.
Thanks for joining us on Real Estate Radio.